Japan is the third largest economy in the world after the USA and China, but has been experiencing major problems since the early 1990s and has struggled to get inflation to actually increase, which sounds bizarre given the fact that inflation is one of the biggest problems facing most countries in the world right now. So in today's episode, we'll have a look at the economy of Japan, what the drivers are, what the biggest imports and exports are, what's been going on with regards to inflation and GDP and interest rates. And then we'll have a look at the population pyramid of Japan and dig down into the details as to why they're facing some major problems right now and why there are quite a lot of comparables between Japan's growth and subsequent stagnation and what's happening in China right now. So before we get started on all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, please subscribe if you haven't done so already. Don't forget, I always include chapters, so if you haven't got time to watch everything, you can pick and choose what you'd like to see. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below where you'll find links to YouTube Super Thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee and Patreon. And as always, I'd like to say thank you so much to everybody that has supported the channel. I genuinely appreciate it. Until the recent growth in the Chinese economy, Japan was the second largest economy in the world after the USA. Now, Japan has actually a collection of 6,852 islands spread across a distance of 1,500 miles. Japan has a current population of around 123 million people, making it the 11th largest country in the world. However, in terms of its landmass, it comes in at number 62, meaning that there's a high density of population. And in fact, the capital city of Tokyo is the largest city in the whole world, having a population of over 37 million people. Around 80% of the landmass of Japan is mountainous, and the country has around 60 active volcanoes. And it's located in one of the most unstable areas in the world where tectonic plates meet, and has around 1,500 earthquakes every single year, although most of these are quite minor. The last major earthquake took place in 1995 when there were multiple deaths. Japan does not have a large abundance of natural resources and therefore has to rely on the import of commodities such as oil, gas, and food substances. The economy of Japan was devastated by World War II. However, the government took a rebuilding approach and invested heavily into machinery and technology. And following the commencement of the Korean War in the 1950s, demand for Japanese manufactured goods grew, and the Japanese economy grew to be the second largest in the world behind the USA. The 1960s, 70s and 80s represented a boom time for Japan, and the economy grew and the people became more wealthy. A highly affluent middle class started to develop in the 1980s, and demand for property increased exponentially, and this led to the development of a property and stock market bubble by the end of the 1980s. At the start of the 1990s, both of those bubbles burst spectacularly. The Nikkei index fell by more than 50%, and the property market was decimated. And Japan has never really recovered from that situation. Initially, the 1990s were referred to as the lost decade. However, that period has now been extended to the lost score, representing a 20-year period of low economic growth. And the average growth rate for GDP between 1991 and 2010 was 0.5%. This chart shows the annual movements in GDP in Japan over the last 10 years, and you can see that the problems with regards to the growth of the economy have continued to persist. And the average growth in GDP between 2011 and 2019 was less than 1%. And when you consider that Japan is the third largest economy in the world, this represents a major problem. In the 60s, 70s and 80s, Japan was one of the biggest manufacturers in the world. It was using technology, robotics and machinery to produce things efficiently, quickly and cheaply. However, in the 1990s, Japan lost its position as the primary exporter from Asia and was replaced by China. Japan still has a large manufacturing industry and is at the forefront of exports in terms of car manufacturing and electronics. This chart shows the breakdown by category of Japan's exports in 2021, which is the most recent year that we have data for. Manufactured goods were the largest category, equating to $147 billion worth of exports, followed by the car industry at $137 billion, and electrical and electronic equipment, which came in at $119 billion. However, in terms of trade, the problem that Japan has is it doesn't have an abundance of natural resources, and therefore is reliant upon the import of oil and natural gas. And this chart shows the breakdown of the imports for 2021. And as you can see, the single largest category was the import of fuel, which represented around $155 billion, followed by electrical and electronic equipment at $113 billion and machinery at $71 billion. And to highlight the problem, this chart shows the breakdown of the fuel sources used to produce electricity in Japan. As you can see, the largest single component is natural gas, representing 34% of all electricity production. And this is in line with what we've seen in Europe, where a lot of countries move towards natural gas over the course of the last 30 years because it's more efficient and produces less CO2 compared to coal. Now, interestingly, coal is the second largest energy source for the production of electricity, equating to around 31%. And one of the reasons for this is that Japan does have deposits of coal, so historically it was able to provide its own coal. However, a lot of the mines have now become unproductive, and it's actually cheaper to buy coal from other parts of the world than it is to extract from Japan. Now, one of the other reasons that coal makes up such a large percentage relates to the nuclear percentage. As you can see from this chart, currently nuclear power equates to around 7% of all electricity produced in Japan. Now, historically, Japan was at the forefront of nuclear power development, and they had a commitment to expanding their nuclear power generation. And at one point, they had 57 active reactors all across the country. However, in March 2011, an earthquake resulted in a nuclear accident at Fukushima, which resulted in the closure of all nuclear power plants in Japan. As I mentioned earlier in the video, Japan sits on the border of two tectonic plates, and as a result of this, it experiences a lot of tremors and earthquakes each year. So a full investigation was undertaken by the Japanese authorities, who decided that they could reopen some of the nuclear reactors as long as they increased their safety measures. 24 were decommissioned, but 10 have subsequently restarted. So the 6% that you can see on this chart actually represents a major reduction. At its height, nuclear power was generating around 25% of all electricity in Japan, but that's now obviously been scaled back. And that's one of the reasons why coal represents such a large percentage, because the old coal-fired stations that were due to be decommissioned have actually been kept on. Now, renewables is a growing area in Japan and represents around 20% currently, and it's expected that that figure will expand significantly over the course of the next 30 years. And then the final segment of this chart relates to electricity produced from oil. So the summary of this chart is that 73% of all electricity generated in Japan comes from natural gas, coal, and oil. And the vast majority of those products are imported from the international markets. And obviously that represents a major problem for Japan, particularly in view of what's happened over the course of the last 12 months since Russia invaded Ukraine, because we saw a huge spike in the price of all of those commodities in the international markets. Now, before we go on to look at inflation and interest rates, let's have a look at the population pyramid of Japan, because the demographics are really important in terms of understanding what's going on in the economy right now. This population pyramid shows the current breakdown of the USA in terms of the age group and sexes. You can see that the ages have been split into five-year categories, 0 to 5, 5 to 9, 10 to 14, and so on. And the blue section on the left represents the male population, and the pink section on the right represents the female population. And you may be thinking, why am I showing you the population pyramid for the USA when we're talking about Japan in this video? But the reason that I wanted to show you is that this is the shape of a developed country. This is what you would expect. You've got roughly an equal number of people in all age categories between 0 and 65. And this represents the shape of a healthy developed economy, because you've got lots of people at all different age groups, all of whom are contributing to society and generating GDP and taxes. This is the current population pyramid for Japan, which is also a developed economy. It's the third largest economy in the world. But as you can see, the shape of Japan's pyramid is very different to what we've just seen for the USA. This pyramid is top heavy, with the majority of people being aged 45 and above. And actually, when you look at the details, more than 50% of the population of Japan are above 50, and more than 30% are above 65. And that is one of the reasons why Japan is having major problems at the moment. And if you look at the age groups from 40 to 44 downwards, you can see that the pyramid is tapering. So there's a reducing number in every single one of those categories, which means that we've got a falling birth rate and a falling population. And this is going to cause major problems in the future, because you'll have a diminishing population and a diminishing workforce in Japan, which means that there'll be less GDP, less taxes, and a higher burden in terms of social security and having to pay for all of the older people in society. Now, one of the reasons I wanted to show you that population pyramid is that the demographics of the country have a big impact on what the population do with their cash. And what Japan has found is that since the early 1990s, when the economy went into the doldrums and has struggled to actually generate any significant growth, the people of Japan decided that they wanted to hold onto their cash and save it in the bank rather than spending. And this situation is known as a liquidity trap. So the government has been trying to stimulate the economy to get people spending to expand in the same way as a lot of governments did during the COVID pandemic. We saw quantitative easing being brought in by a number of governments whereby they were injecting cash into the economy to encourage people to spend so that businesses could grow and they could increase their profitability and therefore hire more people, pay them more money, and so it goes on. And that's how you expand an economy. You inject capital into the economy, people spend, and it grows. But that hasn't been happening at all in Japan over the course of the last 30 years. When the property and stock market bubbles burst in the 1990s, that caused all of the older generation to become more cautious, and they decided they didn't want to spend, irrespective of what was happening with regards to monetary policy. And as a result of that, Japan has really struggled with very low levels of inflation. This chart shows the rate of inflation in Japan dating back to the late 1950s. And as you can see, since 1990, the inflation rate has never been above 5%. And for the vast majority of the last 30 years, it's actually been at or below zero. So you may be thinking, well, low inflation sounds good because prices won't really be going up and therefore everybody could afford to buy more things. But actually, a healthy rate of inflation is what's needed in any economy. Most of the developed countries in the world have a target rate of around 2%. And the reason that they want 2% inflation is that everybody wants a pay increase. And in order to be able to afford a pay increase, companies need to be able to increase their prices and for people to be able to afford to buy these products. And 2% is seen as a ballpark range that encourages all of that growth. But if you have zero inflation, that means that prices are static, and therefore companies can't increase their prices. And that becomes a problem if you're having to buy things in the international markets and prices are going up in terms of the purchase of all of those raw materials or goods, because you can't pass that on to the consumers in your home market. So potentially then you make less profit because your costs go up, but you can't increase your prices. So this is actually quite restrictive to have zero inflation and isn't what any governments or central banks are aiming for. And if we look at what's happened over the last 5 years, you can see that up until 2021, inflation was actually on a downward trend and actually fell into negative territory during 2020. But if you look at what's happened in 2022, Japan has actually started seeing some real inflation. And inflation is currently running at 3.8%, which is the highest level since the early 1970s. So you may be thinking that Japan's now solved its own problem, that inflation has started going up, so that's a good thing. But actually, this is the wrong sort of inflation from Japan's point of view, because this is being driven by increases in commodity prices as a result of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. As Japan saw the price of oil and natural gas and coal increasing dramatically in the international markets, it had no option but to keep buying at those elevated prices because Japan was entirely dependent on the import of all of those goods for the production of electricity and to keep the country running. And this chart shows the balance of trade in Japan, which is basically the difference between the value of all of your exports and the value of all of your imports. So if your exports are worth more, you'll have a positive balance of trade and therefore be building up cash reserves. However, if your imports are costing you more, you'll have a negative balance of trade and therefore you'll be draining your cash reserves. And as you can see, in every single month of the last year, Japan has had a negative balance of trade. And this is obviously building up and is draining their reserves. And if we expand the chart to look at the last 25 years, you can see that this is a very unusual phenomenon for Japan. They normally run a positive balance of trade. They are earning more than they're spending. But the huge increase in commodity prices driven by the war in Ukraine has caused them to have to spend a lot more on all of those imports of fuel, and therefore they're now running a negative cash position. So as you'll know if you follow the channel, the usual way of dealing with high inflation is for central banks and governments to increase interest rates because that discourages people from spending. It reduces the amount of cash in their pocket. It reduces the amount that companies have because everybody has to pay more for their debt and therefore it calms the economy down. But from Japan's point of view, they don't want to do that because they've been trying to stimulate their economy for the last 30 years. And this chart shows what's been happening with interest rates in Japan dating back to 1970. So you can see that when the bubbles burst at the start of the 90s, interest rates were reduced from around 6% down to 0%, and they have remained at those levels for the last 22 years. Now, the main reason that the Japanese Central Bank reduced interest rates to 0% was to discourage everybody from holding all of their money in the bank. They wanted people to go out and spend that money because you're never going to earn any interest on it. But the problem that they had was that if inflation is sitting at 0% as well, prices remain stable, and therefore the value of your money isn't actually deteriorating. If you leave your money in the bank and you're not earning any interest on it, and you have 5% inflation, then the value of your money drops by 5% every single year. But that hasn't been happening in Japan. Basically, you can leave your money in the bank, earn no interest, and you still are as wealthy as you were this time last year because none of the prices have gone up. But the problem that Japan's facing right now is that prices have started going up because of what's happening with regards to the cost of fuel in the international markets, but interest rates are at 0%. So if the Bank of Japan follows traditional methodology and increases interest rates to offset increasing inflation, it's likely to encourage people to put more money in the bank because they're then going to start earning interest on that cash. So this is now unfolding to be a major problem for the Japanese authorities. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because I think what's going on in Japan is absolutely fascinating. It's operating like no other country in the world. We're all familiar with what's been going on with regards to Russia's invasion of Ukraine, how that's impacted on the global price for commodities, and how it's causing inflation all across the world. And the main weapon that central banks and governments have been using to tackle that inflation is raising interest rates. And we've seen interest rate hikes from various countries over the course of the last 12 months, and we're now starting to see inflation peaking and coming back down in most countries. But what's happening in Japan is unique to that country. And the problems in Japan are related directly to what's happening with the population. We've got a declining number of people and we've got an aging population. So everybody's getting older and older people tend to be more cautious. They don't spend as much. They want to save and hold on to all of their cash. And that's what's been happening over the course of the last 30 years. The Bank of Japan has tried desperately to stimulate the economy. It reduced interest rates to zero, which is what we saw during the COVID pandemic. All across the world. And as a result of that, we saw markets taking off, we saw lots of people spending, and we saw property markets explode all around the world. But that hasn't been happening in Japan because they've got a much more cautious outlook. They're not taking on as much debt and they don't want to spend any of their capital. And they've now got themselves into a very difficult situation whereby inflation has started feeding through into the economy as a result of the increase in oil, gas, and food prices over the course of the last 12 months. But they've still got their same problem that most people aren't spending money. And if the Bank of Japan does decide that it wants to start increasing interest rates, that's only likely to encourage people to save more money. So this is a real conundrum from their perspective. And I mentioned at the start of the video that there are some comparables to what's going on in China. And I wanted to pick that up at this point. Now, if you saw my recent video, we talked about the fact that China has now got a reducing population. For the first time in a very, very long time, they saw a reduction in numbers around 850,000 at the end of 2022. But when you look at the population pyramid for China, there are some major concerns there. In order to stop population growth in the 1980s, a one child per family rule was brought in, whereby families were penalized if they had more children. Now that's led to a reduction in the birth rate, and it's also changed the psychology for a lot of people in China. They don't want to have more than one child. Now this has now led to a major problem because they've got reducing birth rate and they've now got a top-heavy society in the same way as we saw on the Japan population chart. Now it's not quite as pronounced as Japan because China is still developing, but the problems are now in place and that's going to cause major issues for China down the road because they've got a growing older population who follow the same sort of characteristics as what we've seen in Japan, they are less likely to spend. And they are also going to prove to be a bigger burden because the Chinese authorities are going to have to pay for the health healthcare and the social welfare of all of those people at some point in the future. And when you look at the development of the two countries, Japan had its boom times in the 50s, 60s and 70s, when it was the biggest manufacturer in the world and the biggest exporter. And at that time, it was forecast that Japan was going to overtake the USA as the biggest economy in the world. However, following the bursting of the property and stock market bubbles in 1990, that didn't happen, and the economy has never recovered. And when you look at what's going on with China right now, we've got a similar dynamic. Over the course of the last 15 years, China has grown exponentially. It's been the world's major exporter. It's been manufacturing goods that everybody else has been buying. And it's also forecast to overtake the USA at some point in the next few years. However, when you look at the demographics and the problems that are going on in China right now, it's quite similar to what happened in Japan. They've built up a huge property bubble in exactly the same way as what happened in Japan, and that bubble is now on the point of bursting. I've talked about it a lot on the channel. Evergrande is the high profile name, but there are lots of property developers who ran out of cash, they can't complete their builds, and confidence has now disappeared in the Chinese property market. So we may see a bursting of that bubble, and we may also see the stock market crashing in China. So it could be a repeat of what happened in Japan, and it could be that in the long term, China suffers the same sort of fate as the economy of Japan, that they struggle to stimulate it and they struggle to achieve any significant growth. So just to finish off on Japan, obviously this is a live situation. Inflation is now rising month on month in Japan, and the authorities are really scratching their heads as to how they're going to fix that. It's currently at 3.8%, but if it gets to 5 or 6 or 10%, then that's going to cause a major problem in Japan, and the authorities will have to do something about it at some point. But if they increase interest rates for the first time in 20 years or so, that could cause even bigger problems for the long-term prospects for Japan. So hopefully you've enjoyed this introduction to Japan, and I'll keep you posted of ongoing developments, because this is going to be a fascinating ride over the course of the next 12 months. So hopefully you found today's video useful, informative and thought-provoking. If you've liked what I've said, then please give me a thumbs up, and thank you so much for watching this video all the way through to the end.